something. Open up the door. I'll tell him myself. Do you hear me? I don't want nobody to give me nothing. Open up the door. I'll get him myself. I don't give me integration. Give me true communication. I don't give me sorrow. I want equal opportunity to live tomorrow. Give me schools and give me better books so I can read about myself and gain my truer looks. I don't want nobody to give me nothing. Open up the door, I'll tell them myself. Do you hear me now? Now I don't want nobody to give me nothing. Open up the door, I'll tell them myself. We can use on our side of town. Let's get our heads together and build it up from the ground. When some of us make money, we forget about our people. Better grab out of honey. Forget about a honey. Look at here now. Look at here.
Time for the Carol Cox Show right here at K108. If you have questions or comments for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080. And now here's Carol.
Good morning and welcome to the Carol Cox Show. A lovely day here. And you know the routine. Any day in Hawaii is beautiful, and anywhere else, but something special about this is the rain coming down as we travel into the station along the freeways and the mountains is absolutely stunning. And the sun peering through, you should see it, folks. For my friends back there in Minnesota and North Carolina listening, Italy and other places, Florida. And say hello to Violet up there in Pearl City, up on Pearl Ridge area. Listening, hope you're listening and stay dry. But anyway, I was out in the backyard and feeding some birds there, and it started to rain. And usually, when you're on the mainland, it started raining, you run. Here, you stand there and you bask in the glory. It just felt so good. So unbelievable. When I expire, just put me in a paper bag and leave me on the side of the road. I'd even accept that. That would be just good enough for me, right here in paradise. So we're going to be talking about a number of things. And always remember, 524-1080 is the number you can call in and chat with me and or offer your opinions and whatever it is. But a couple of topics I had intended to talk and was waiting for some call-ins, and we'll see if we get to that point. But you know, you have we've talked about the dairy on the island of Kauai, the proposed dairy, some 600 plus cows, 699 actually, being proposed a dairy at Maha Ulepu, Poipu area. And it has raised concerns with environmental impacts and negatively impacting, and maybe we'll speak to those and the concerns that are being expressed by friends of the Mahalalepu. They are raising questions, and quite naturally many other people that are familiar with that area and have concerns for the environment, coral reefs and all of that. So there is a draft environmental impact statement that is out now, available for comments, and you can go there and pull that up. So that activity is ongoing. Terrible handling by the state. As I said in closing last week, I'm concerned about this David Ige's administration. Nice guy, smile. You just, you know, I mean, you don't know if you're looking, you're going to have to scream at him or shake his hand and hug him. I mean, he's that nice of a guy on appearance, but something's missing. His administration is filled with just BS. I mean, the people, they act as though they are operating in their own little country, a little club, so to speak. And some, not all of the agencies, and remember now, the people on top and that he appoints and those people, they're the ones I'm speaking to. The people that work there for these agencies, as honest as you'll get, they want to do what's right. But there's so much trash and so much underhanded behavior. You got Suzanne Case, just absolutely, hopefully in the next coming week we're going to be exposing a number of things. She has to go. But again, Ige appointed her, and she operates without control. Or if she, one denies that she's not operating with control or oversight from the governor's office, then it's really bad. But I'm also going to talk about rail either this hour or the next hour. And what we'll be talking about is that for those of you that just tuned in and think that you're just listening to some sidekick or some insignificant entity speaking, I'm proud of what I bring to you, and I'm proud of what I try and, as a watchdog and as a community activist and environmentalist, civil rights activist, I believe that I hit it right on the bullseye each occasion. Now, some of you may not like it because of your religious beliefs or your political beliefs or what your prejudicial beliefs. I don't know and don't care. But what I try to do is bring you the facts, and bring them, when I say try, the facts, if I come to you, they're going to be factual. Just that's, let that be known. And when I say I try to bring you the facts, I don't struggle. I try to shorten it and make it sweet and simple. And I have a knowledge and an understanding of the technical aspects of many of these subjects. And, you know, this fray for years now has been on the ongoing with the rail. But I'm going to share with you today some things that in April of this year, you may recall, I disclosed and uncovered the fact that there was a 42-inch water main running along Dillingham Boulevard, and the response from Hanabusa and the mayor and others and were the types of interview comments that you wouldn't expect to hear. Well, I had never heard of it. I didn't know about it. Or, no, there's not a problem. Well, we know that the utility lines were an expense. They're going to have to remove those along Dillingham if they were to go that way. We know that expense. And so they came out and talked about that expense. And kind of openly disclosing how much, some say $100 million, $120 million to put the lines underground, move them and mitigate that. But no talk of the water main, the 42-inch water main that ran down Dillingham. And into Waikiki, providing water for Hawaiʻikai, Waikiki, and some parts of Honolulu. Now, we heard about that, and I told you that based on that and the fact that they had not disclosed the 42-inch water main and the cost, it's because they didn't want to come forward with any more costs because they were already in trouble asking for more money and they overspending and what have you, cost overruns, whatever. And they told us that that wasn't a problem. And I told you that day was the day when I knew basically the cost, that based on how they were hiding this and concealing it, the water main and those costs and the other costs that are associated with Iwelei and the underground concerns, oil and contaminants that are in plumes underground, that they wouldn't go past Middle Street. So if you go to my website, carolcox.com, you'll see a picture where I gladly and proudly posted it up to tell you that they weren't going to go any further. So that's just the beginning of it. Let me tell you, and I'm going to hold these thoughts till next hour, but I'll just give you a little hint. Do you believe that Pearl City and the people in IL that suffered those small businesses, the Flamingo and other small businesses that went out of business or found financial hardship because of the rail and the traffic and the lack of traffic? Well, I want you to hold this as a thought. Do you believe that they intended to go down Nimitz, as they claim? And I say, no, they never did. Because Young Brothers, Matson, the entire commerce of Honolulu and the state of Hawaii relies on Nimitz Highway. They didn't tell you that. And in August 2008, there was a study by the Department of Health to talk about the corridor of Iwelei and what have you. So imagine what happened in IL, Pearl City, these small businesses that were basically run out of town, squeezed out because of the rail activity building. Do you think we could tolerate the loss of traffic and major thoroughfare to Waikiki for the tourism business that's from the airport? Don't think so. So your mayor and all of the politicians that's associated with it, you should hold them accountable. We've said they're crooked. And I'm going to say many of them are just ignorant. They came out and promised and sold us so many things about this rail and assured us it was the perfect thing since sliced bread. And then as a group of people, the legislators and the senators and the House of Representatives, the City Council, the directors of the Department of Transportation, Mayor Mufi Hanneman, former Caldwell, and all of these people, heavy hitters, knock it out of the park politically. And they've exceeded the cost, and you're going to let them tell you vote for them in the future? I think they owe us an apology. Not to even discuss the cost of the loss of money and the overspending and the reckless behavior. But anyway, hold that thought, and we're going to talk about it. And I want to ask you, do you think that Nimitz Highway could be closed down for even a day and not impact the state's economy statewide? So I think I have Bridget Hammerquist on the line from Friends of Maha Ulepu, and we're going to talk about the dairy and some interesting things that we've been finding out about that and the draft environmental impact statement that's available that's for comments. But hold your hats and hold your coffee. Go get it warmed up because we're ready to rumble. Okay. Good morning, Bridget. How are you?
I'm good, Carol. How are you?
I'm fine. I'm sitting here trying to figure out, do I want whiskey in my coffee or just coffee? Still, I could tolerate some of this nonsense and understand it. I need to get drunk.
I need some help. Bad. I listen to you talk about the rail line, and I think, you know, it would be an interesting think tank project to figure out how much of the taxpayers' money is wasted on politicians that try to push things through that aren't really good ideas. And if you just ran it past, you know, the average person on the street, they'd tell you ahead of time. It doesn't make any sense. And that's kind of what we're dealing with on Kauai. You know, we have a beautiful coastline, a beautiful beach, nearby resort, Grand Hyatt, lots of residences, lots of homes. And Piero Mitiar sits there with his staff and says, let's see if we can make Hawaii milk independent. Where can we stick a smelly, messy, fly-ridden dairy? Oh, I know. Look at this little haven here on the south shore of Kauai. There's not that many people there. We could probably pull it off. We could stick it there. And with no regard to what it'll do for the environment, that's the plan that they're trying to sell to the state. But there's a little bombshell that I want to share with you today, Carol, that we just learned, and it is really a bait-and-switch operation. But go ahead, you start, and I'll fill in the blanks.
Well, introduce yourself and again and tell them your website, because I think many of them out there would be willing to embrace or at least get involved in writing comments on the draft environmental impact statement that's floating out there waiting to be reviewed by the state.
Yeah, right. Well, that's a real good point. Okay. Well, we're a community-based organization, all volunteers. We filed papers a year ago, and we're a charitable, tax-exempt organization, a 501c3, and we're called Friends of Mahalapu. And my name is Bridget Hammerquist, and I've served as our president now for a couple years. And we have a board. We have probably over 500 members in Friends of Mahalapu. I know we do. And they're all good people, like, you know, you're all over there. In fact, I know we have people on Oahu that are Friends of Mahalapu. And we're just people that are trying to keep some sanity and save our ocean, save our beaches, save our water. We have a real threat to our drinking water that provides the drinking water to the entire south shore of Kauai, posed by this dairy. And recently, allegedly in response to community concern, it wasn't all that recent either, Kyle Dada, who's the Ulupono project manager, and who works on under Piero Mitiar, directly under the former eBay billionaire, he went to the public and he said, we're going to do a draft EIS, we're going to do an EIS, excuse me, an environmental impact study. And they came out with their notice to the public, which called an EISPN, an Environmental Impact Statement Public Notice, in January of 15, and we all had to have our comments in by the end of February of 2015. And people did that. Over 200 people commented, Carol. Long letters, wrote comments, stated their concerns, said, we've looked at your plan and here's our concern. And now the dairy took a year and a half doing their research and answering the comments, and they filed on June 8th a document with the state of Hawaii, Department of Health, that's over 2,700 pages long. It's four volumes. It's ridiculous to try to sell that a dairy would be safe less than 0.8 miles upslope from a beach, beautiful beach, Mahalapu Beach, and the start of the whole South Shore series of beaches. The next beach is Shipwrecks Beach, and the beach after that is Brenneke Beach, and then comes Poipu Beach, and, you know, on down the coastline. So this document, the draft EIS, is on our website, and you can go to friendsofmahalapu.org, and I invite people to look at it. The first two volumes are really the meat of it. The second two volumes are everybody's letters expressing their concerns and the dairy responses. And they did kind of you know, every time we turn around, Carol, we find like another roadblock. And one of the roadblocks that I think is pretty awful is they made it seem like they'd done this really good job, right? They took over 200 letters and they wrote over 200 responses. And they sent everybody their response in the form of a electronic disc. Not a hard copy, right, that they could get out of the mail and read. But electronic disc. And they put the disc in the computer and they go to pull it up to respond to it. And it's all sideways. They printed the pages sideways to get more pages of text on a page. They made it sort of book fashion, but tilted on its side. And you can't rotate it. Now, some people did get a hard copy letter. Others didn't. I didn't get one, for instance. And others didn't. And there's people that I've gotten calls from in the mainland that are struggling with that sideways text. But it's just, you know, it's just a small hurdle. We can get past that.
But isn't that consistent with the state practices of flipping everything on its back?
I know. I have one dear friend, and she said, well, I figured it out. She said, I just tricked my iPad and turned it to where I could finally read it. And I said, okay, good for you that you have an iPad. I don't have one of those. But, yeah, it's not typical. But are you ready for the missile that we just found?
Mm-hmm. Sure am.
Yeah, well, we took a deposition a week ago of the proposed farm manager in conjunction with a Clean Water Act case. And we have, for listeners who haven't maybe been following us, the dairy was proposed in the start of 2014. And it was rolled out to the public supposedly as a plan that had been thought through and developed over the 5 years prior to the rollout in January of 2014. But when they rolled it out, there were so many inconsistencies and there were so many bald-faced misrepresentations. Like they told the public, well, we're out there moving earth around because we have an NRCS permit. No, we don't have a county permit yet, and no, we don't have approval from the state, but we have a permit from the Natural Resource Conservation Service, an arm of the USDA. They put that in print, Carol. They handed us a document that says that. They're still saying, in the current draft EIS, they're saying they're operating according to their approved NRCS plan. Both statements, that they have a permit and that they have an approved plan from the NRCS, are false. The NRCS had nothing to do with their current plan, didn't develop it, and they don't approve agricultural plans. Mm-hmm. We finally had to hire an attorney. He knows his stuff when it comes to dairy. He's been working in environmental law now for 27 years, and the last 20 of them have been dealing with dairies that are polluting communities all over the U.S. Our concern is not unique. We have huge counties in the mainland that have lost their drinking water because of animal manure and nitrate infiltration into wells, communities that rely on wells, as we do. We rely on a well. We rely on three large wells to provide all the drinking water for Poipu, for all of our hotels down here, and most of Kalua Town. So if you've got some listeners that care about water, ask them to go to friendsofmahalapu.org. The draft EIS is up there. The current waste management plan is up there. But there's something that's not there yet, Carol, that we just discovered.
Mm-hmm.
Shall I go into it and launch into the history here?
Yeah, and the other, making sure that we touched, talked on the subject of what we earlier say was we found a missile here. And that was in that deposition.
Yes.
A statement, a claim was made, and if you could just restate that again.
Okay.
Because I think people, I don't say they're ignorant.
All right, so we have the dairy plan out there. We raise some really valid concerns. We catch them in some major lies, like we have an NRCS permit, and anybody can call the NRCS office on Oahu, and they'll tell you they don't issue permits.
Okay.
Their director told our lawyer, we don't approve agricultural plans. We have that in writing.
But
so
they claim...
They don't do that. That's not what they do. They're there to consult with the farmer. But they're not an approving body. They're not a licensing body. They're not a permitting body. Okay. So we found things like that, and we found that they'd understated their rainfall, which, you know, if you reduce the amount of water coming down in your ground, you might reduce the risk of making that poop you're going to create from all those cows run off into the ocean.
Right.
Which is our big concern. So there's streams on the property. The streams head to the ocean. There's ditches. There's a whole network of ditches on this farm that they finally have acknowledged in the draft EIS. They said there's an extensive network of ditches running across and through the property. They all drain to Waiopili Ditch, which becomes Waiopili Stream, and crosses the sands at Mahalapu Beach and enters the ocean. So they heard our concerns, and in February of 2015, Kyle Dotta wrote a large guest commentary, and Kyle Dotta is the Ulupono project manager responsible for this project. As he said to me, he holds Pierre's purse strings when it comes to the dairy. And they've raised the carrot and waved it in front of the community and said, we're going to spend $17 million developing this dairy. You're going to get a lot of money, community. No, we're not. That's not true. They say they're going to put that kind of money into it, but we already found out that they've been putting receipts in as fast as they've been spending money. They've been putting receipts into the Department of Agriculture to get tax refunds.
Mm-hmm.
And they collected $625,000 from taxpayers in 2014.
And not a cow yet to go up at Mahalapu.
No cow there yet. That, and they put in receipts for things like airplane airfares, consulting services. They just threw the kitchen sink in there. And the important agricultural land that they're on is part of a comprehensive state statutory scheme. And it does provide that the Department of Agriculture is supposed to certify the expenses that the farmer claims. In other words, they go through them and make sure they're what the statute intended to reimburse them for.
Mm-hmm.
And our Department of Agriculture covered their receipts with a letter to the tax people that just said, we're not certifying these costs, we're forwarding them to you, and we're taking the word of the applicant. So the person asking for the tax relief gets to put in whatever he wants, is basically what they're saying, and they did. They sure did. I mean, airfare, consulting services, that's not things that the statute says they should recover for.
The statute's pretty specific about what they should recover for. I need a little vet welfare.
Yeah.
I wish I could write off whatever I do, be able to write off my airfare and all of that, and hadn't heard of, like we say, hadn't heard boo from them.
They don't have a dairy cow here yet. Not here yet. I mean, thank God for that, because they're going to be a real mess when they come. That's just the nature of the dairying. Our big objection is location, Carol, okay?
Right.
So, yes, billionaires, and people should be mad about that. I'm mad about that. Billionaires shouldn't get to collect welfare. They shouldn't. That man has more than $8 billion in his purse. He has no business taking hard-earned taxpayer dollars for airfare and consulting fees. And we'll get into those consulting fees, because that really raises a red herring.
Well, here's my couple things I want to make sure we don't lose it.
And
that is, to me it's important, but that, you know what that means. But anyway, here we have, they get to certify their own, submit their receipts and what have you, and the state is very loose with that. But what I also found is that the important agricultural lands, the lands that they represent that's going to be used for this dairy, siting this dairy, the state will not certify that they are IAL. It's going to take the word, or taking the word of the person that is offering to build this dairy or place this dairy in place.
The Grove Farm went through a dedication process.
Yeah, I understand, but in their
They took the word of Grove Farm on the quality of the earth.
But in their formal document, they say the agriculture department says that they will not go out to confirm anything.
No, that's right, and they didn't.
Yeah.
Because you're supposed to have rich soil to be an important agricultural land. That's one of the big requirements.
But they should go out and certify what they're claiming is that, or do something. But when
they obviously didn't, because the dirt at Mahalapu is not deep, it's not rich, And they out of the other side of their mouth and all through their plan, they talk about how they're going to have to improve. They are going to have to remediate the soil, mm-hmm. and that all this manure is going to somehow help the mm-hmm. soil mm-hmm. get better because the soil is depleted at Mahalapu. The dairy goes at great lengths in every document they filed to talk about how horrible the soil is at Mahalapu. It doesn't mm-hmm. drain, and that's true. It is. It's primarily clay-based, and it doesn't drain well in most parts of the soil, mm-hmm. the farm. A few of them it does. But here you have the people, now when it suits their purpose, they're touting to the rooftops that this soil is really rotten and really needs all this manure to get better. And a friend of mine who works at the National Tropical Botanical Gardens, and she's the director of one of their nurseries there, said, you know, you can't change a soil type. You can add fertilizer to it, and that fertilizer will be there for a period of time. But you don't change 500 acres of a soil type. That's the soil type. And Roy mm-hmm. Yamakawa of CTAR said the same thing to me.
Mm-hmm.
You can take a plant anywhere, but he says you can't take the soil and you can't take the environment.
Mm-hmm.
Your soil and your environment are what's there.
So,
okay, here we have, we're hollering about, you guys are falsifying facts, you're falsifying your soil type, you're falsifying your rain, you're falsifying your permitting, and they had to give on all that. They had to admit we were right. They changed their rainfall level, and they said, oh, you know, we checked with the state. Well, shoot, there's a rain gauge at Mahalapu that's been reported to the state for over 30 years. The same information I got from the NOAA, the Office of Hydrology, state hydrologist, was just with a phone call and an email sending me an Excel spreadsheet. It was that easy. It was a half an hour of my time.
Mm-hmm.
And yet they couldn't get that when they put their plan in initially to the state. The soil type they originally reported was free-draining volcanic soil. No such thing.
Mm-hmm.
The soil type there is 55%. One segment 30, one segment 25%. 55% of it is kyena clay and kahili clay. And so it's not going to drain well.
And that's not as porous as they claim.
No, not only not porous. I mean, it is not. And so it's at real high risk for runoff of whatever goes on the surface because it's not going to percolate down.
Sound like they should go in the catfish business because it'll hold water a little bit.
It will. Well, it ponds. It does. And that's why all the ditches are there, Carol.
Right.
Because the sugar industry found out that they had, this area was really unique for the silty clay soil. So they fill that place with ditches, and where did the ditches go? All to two main drainage ditches, and
mm-hmm.
then those two ditches go to this stream that runs to the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
And that was draining water off the sugar plantation fields out of necessity, but it wasn't carrying fecal bacteria, it wasn't carrying fecal waste down into the ocean, and that's what's going to happen when they put 699 cows on it.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, they tell us, we're going to do the draft EIS, and we're going to prove our dairy plan is safe. Kyle Dotta does this big guest commentary. Go to the Garden Island, February 15th, 2015. You can read this large guest commentary written by Kyle Dotta himself, where he tells the public, our dairy is safe, and we will prove it. Okay, so we waited. The draft EIS is coming, it's coming. Finally, we hear it's coming June 8th. It's going to be released to the public, and you can read how safe this dairy is. I thought, well, good, I'll finally find out where we're mistaken. Because we took so many issues with them on things like, they can't possibly be zero discharge. Their hallmark claim all the way up until June of this year was we're going to be a zero discharge operation. We're keeping all the poop and pee on the dairy. It's not going to escape into your rivers. It's not going to your ocean. And Amy Hennessy said of us that we were fear-mongering, that we were scaring the public unnecessarily, right? So they file this draft EIS, and I think to myself, good. Now we'll find out how they're going to prove this operation safe. Well, Carol, here's the bombshell that we learned in a deposition of Jim Garments on Tuesday of this past week. How did they prove it was safe? They didn't. They filed a draft EIS on June 8th, and they never told the public that 7 days before that, delivered to the Department of Health on June 1st, was a 14-page document totally changing all the major aspects of this dairy, its waste load, its discharge feature, its grass-fed feature. All of that got set aside. And the public still doesn't know it. I'm talking to you this morning, and our public on Kauai does not know they filed that document.
So let's make sure we are clear, with so they'll understand. There's this waste management plan, and he is
right. It's been in place since July of 14.
Yeah,
that's right.
So
there's a waste management plan submitted to the state of Hawaii on file with the Department of Health.
Mm-hmm.
They said, we're going to do an environmental impact statement. We're going to prove to the public that plan is safe.
Right. And so what they submitted back in 2014 was a one based on the New Zealand model, whatever that is, and on dairies.
Okay. Yes, you're right. That's right.
And
they said they're going to put in a rotational grazing plan, and they're using the New Zealand model.
And so the draft environmental impact statement was based on that. That was referred to and used to build this environmental impact statement, draft environmental.
Well, that's what we thought.
Right. And the public now is commenting on that draft environmental impact statement when we learned now just recently, is just last week, that in fact they've decided to use the Cornell model and not tell the public. And so we're at a loss trying to figure out, what are we really commenting on? What are the real facts? And there was about 28. They didn't change it. What is it? I'll let you explain about
the
waste management.
Well, you have it there in a nutshell.
Yeah.
They said all along that they're following the New Zealand model, okay? And they came in with this rotational grazing with 119. Can you picture that? 119 fenced-off areas over 400... Well, it was 517 grazing acres. That's the total acreage, and they were going to take the 517 acres and divide it into 119 fenced parcels that they were going to supposedly keep one-sixth of their total herd in every day. So they'd use six parcels a day, and the whole idea is that by rotating them through the 119 parcels, they could make the kind of divide the farm up into all these little slices of pie and have the cows eating on one part of the pie, so that on every month they'd take 18 days to get back to the first slice of pie.
That's that rotational.
That's the rotational. And they claim that was a New Zealand model. I have to tell you, Carol, I could not find a New Zealand model with these small fenced parcels like they're describing.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't find where they'd put this many cows, 700 cows, their startup herd is 699, on just 517 acres. But yes, that's the plan, and we know that New Zealand, there's a dairy guild in New Zealand that's actually now made up of contributors and participants from the dairy industry, as well as people from the local governments. And why do they form the Dairy Guild? Because they have a huge pollution problem in New Zealand from the cattle,
mm-hmm.
from the dairy cattle. They've lost a large percentage of their fresh water through degradation, through animal waste. There are reports after reports from the Independent Parliamentary Commissioner for the Environment. That's the title head of the person who puts out these annual reports in New Zealand on the state of their environment. It's the Independent Parliamentary Commissioner for the Environment. And the dairy industry and the dairy damage to the environment has been the key topic since 2007.
And that is the model, the New Zealand model.
New Zealand model they said they were following.
Let me finish. They
ramped it up, Carol.
Yeah, I know. Hold on.
It's the New Zealand model on steroids. They have more cows on less area than any plan I could find in New Zealand.
Right, I understand.
But that's what they said they were doing their dairy on, and that's what we thought we'd be commenting on in the draft EIS.
Right. So,
and I have to tell you, the draft EIS has a little bit of what is it when you have a split personality? The draft EIS, right in the beginning, in Volume 1, on 1-7, okay, they go on again about the New Zealand model.
Mm-hmm.
And they say again that they're following the New Zealand model. It might be on actually page.
So things went bad. That New Zealand was following its own model, and things apparently went bad. And so here we are referring to a dairy, going to place a dairy at Mahalapu based on the New Zealand model. And then the public now is commenting on a proposal, a draft environmental impact statement that is based on the New Zealand model. But then once that's submitted, they run out and get a new model and don't tell the public, and we by chance have to discover, what, that there's this new waste management, that they didn't submit a new waste management plan. They gutted the old one and renovated or revised 28 points, right?
Yes. And they submitted a graph. There's pages. It'll be on our website tomorrow. Look at friendsofmahalapu.org tomorrow. And you'll find a copy of what's been filed with the State Department of Health, with Sina Pruder, the head of the wastewater branch chief, because she has the responsibility for approving, ultimately, if it ever gets approval, and I hope it never does. They shouldn't get approval because they've lied to the public. They've lied to the public on more than one occasion. They claimed a temperature range. Are you ready for this, Carol? Can I do this real quick?
I don't know. You might shock some of the people because
this is what their first plan said, and people can read it. There was a redacted plan, actually, that was filed in May of 14. It's on our website. We have it on our website. It's called the redacted plan. On page 59, mm-hmm. That's where it is, they claim that the temperature... annual average temperature range in Mahalapu is 40 to 73 degrees, comma, ideal for Kukuyu. Okay, that's mm-hmm. the sentence. I read that, I just about came unglued. We'd had all these lies already from their initial plan. I called one of the guys in the wastewater branch office, Sina Pruder wasn't available, and I said, they have filed this plan, they've redacted a whole bunch of stuff so we can't see what they're doing, and then they're putting information like this before you, that the average annual temperature range in Mahalapu is 43 to 70 degrees, ideal for Kukuyu. I said, give me a break. How many lies are you going to take from these guys? And he said, why, Bridget? What's wrong? I said, where in Hawaii is the average annual temperature range 43 to 70 degrees?
Well, that's a cold day in paradise.
Yes, it is. And it might be at the top of Mauna Kea, but it sure isn't at Mahalapu Beach, Kauai.
Isn't that amazing? And the sad part about it is the state is the agency receiving this draft environmental impact statement. Mm-hmm. And the state is the one who's giving them a tax break. And the state, so we have, the cards are stacked against us as citizens because we're preaching to people that want this thing to go through. And they're not looking at the science or the ethics.
This is a toxic waste dump. I have to tell you, cows produce over 100 pounds plus of liquid manure every day. One cow. Each cow poops over 100 pounds a day. That stuff is full of hormones, fecal bacteria, parasites, you name it. There's a whole list of zoonotic diseases, illnesses you can get from cows.
Mm-hmm.
And they carry bacteria. And not only that, but there's been a big study that was just done out of Texas over 11 dairies. Somebody decided to test that dairy air. What's in the dairy air that we smell, the noxious, horrible odors? They actually cultured it, Carol, just mm-hmm. this past summer.
Mm.
They cultured it, and it grew out MRSA, methicillin-resistant Staph aureus. I'm an old nurse. You're talking to an old nurse here. And I'm going, geez, oh, flip. And why does it carry superbacteria like MRSA? Because they have to give these cows that are kept in close quarters, like they're planning here, where they put all of them on one small parcel a day, they have to give them antibiotics to keep them healthy.
Mm-hmm.
When they give them these prophylactic antibiotics, the bacteria in their gut gets stronger and makes superbacteria, and then we get bacteria out from them, like a Zika virus. We get this stuff out that we don't have any weapons for. And MRSA wreaks havoc with people. And they, you know, the flesh-eating bacteria, that's there too.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're talking about putting all this stuff on the ground that drains when it rains or irrigated or when we have storms goes to the ditches. And where do the ditches go? To the ocean. And on their way to the ocean, where do they travel? That water goes right past our wells, our drinking wells.
Hey, Bridget, hold that thought. There's a couple people on the line. They've been, and we're not in a hurry because we got another hour, if you'd like.
All right, Carol.
I'll hold. Because I think they may have questions for you, but also I think there's so much here it could help the ones that want to participate or offer comment for the DIS.
All right.
So hold on 1 second. Caller, thank you for calling. Go ahead with your comment or question.
Yes, I'm responding to the ruinous nature of this dairy. I'll start with saying I think I taste fungicide when I take a shower in Waikiki in the water. Now, I was wondering what the unintended consequences might be with mosquitoes and vandalism.
Okay. Vandalism?
Well, the mosquitoes, because there's ditches. These ditches might be petri dishes to grow things. Like, she was getting into some of it. But what will the mosquitoes start carrying around? And then, this is going to be so unpopular. What's the vandalism going to become like?
Okay. All right.
So I can listen to that off the air.
Thank you.
Do you want me to respond,
Yeah,
Carol?
Go ahead real quick. And we got about 8 more minutes.
You've got a great point. There's two huge effluent ponds that are going to be part of this operation if it ever gets off the ground. Those two huge effluent ponds are going to carry millions of gallons of wastewater washed from the dairy milking parlor and the raceways where the cows walk. They have those all in hardtop. They're going to wash them down. They go into a drainage system, collects in the ponds. The other poop and pee gets left on the pastures. But every time they walk them over hardtop or concrete, they have to perpetually wash that area because they poop and pee as they walk. It'll collect in these open ponds. It'll be a field day for mosquitoes and biting flies. The manure on the ground is going to propagate millions of biting flies. We have an industrial entomologist that said it will only be months before the South Shore is covered with millions of horn flies, which the dairy admits are already out there. They've already seen a biting fly on the property just from the natural animals that are there. But when they give them food, millions of pounds of manure, they're going to have over 2 million pounds of manure created by the startup herd in a month.
Okay. Let me get this other call here.
And the vandalism I can't really talk to.
Okay. Hold on. Caller, thank you for calling. Go ahead with your comments real quick.
Yeah, good morning. I got a solution that would solve this lady's problem. Outbid the dairy and buy the property and turn it into the park, or get all of those together who are against it, pool their money, outbid the dairy, buy that land, and turn it into the park.
Okay. All righty. Well, thank you.
We would love to do that. And I have to tell you, there's a group of people on this island that have worked really hard because that coastline is so beautiful. Go to our website, friendsofmahalapu.org. There's some great pictures of this area. And we tried very hard to make it into a national park. In fact, the National Park Service came here, did a reconnaissance survey at the request of Dan Inouye in 2008. And it was published. It's a beautiful document. You can go to the National Parks website and get the final reconnaissance survey for Mahalapu. I think it's about 60 pages long. It has great pictures. It documents all of the environmentally protected and endangered species. The valley's also full of endangered species. I mean, they're going to wreak havoc not just with the public, not just with our health, our water, but with our protected environment.
But currently, the land is owned by whom?
Oh, the land is currently owned by Steve Case, the former AOL owner, who's now a billionaire, and he bought Grow Farm, all 44,000 acres island-wide. They manage. They're not really a farm. They're really a property management company. They don't have anything in cultivation that they're selling to the public.
So
no product being built.
But
as far as buying the area, we found out in the course of trying to make it a national park that Grow Farm did not intend to release that coastline, and they did not want to sell it.
Okay.
Would they sell it? Maybe for the right price. Could they give us a price? They could never settle on a price. It kept going up. But the last I heard, it was over $24 million. And we might have some money to fight this dairy, but the people living here aren't going to be in a place to come up with over $24 million. So I would dearly love to do what your caller said,
mm-hmm.
but we're not billionaires. We're
yeah.
just average people, and a lot mm-hmm. of Kalua Town are middle-income and low-income
okay.
people that are... we have people that are giving us $15 and $20 at a time, and that's all they can part with, but they're going to... they part with it.
Okay, let me get this other caller here. Let's see, and... caller? Well, we lost them, two of them. You can call back, but... yeah, Bridget, we'll take a break here real quick and be back as the news break. And you want to hold on or you want to call back shortly?
Oh, I can give you a ring back if you'd like.
Okay, yeah, you probably...
have them call back. I hope the callers do call back.
Okay, all right, and we'll...
We need their help. We need
We'll talk about the this 16-page document on the waste management plan and how and some of
all
the...
right. Yeah, we're loading it tomorrow, Carol. We'll let the public see what they wouldn't tell the public exists.
We'll look at some of the revisions here, and hold on. Caller, go ahead with your comment real quick.
Yeah. Where's the governor and the mayor and the...
go ahead, Bridget. Where's the
governor
and the mayor?
The governor actually met with us. I know he cares. I don't think he's figured out what he could do yet. Our mayor... was sold a bill of goods. They told him it wouldn't stink. They told him they were making milk for Kauai kids. All of that is proven to be false. They're shipping the milk out. It's not going to be processed on Kauai. It goes on barges to Hilo or to Honolulu for processing by Meadow Gold. It's sold directly in Meadow Gold. Meadow Gold sells it where they want to sell it. So our mayor got behind them because they lied to him like they lied to the public. And it's really time for it to stop.
But the mayor, he obviously don't listen to the Carol Cox Show because he would know everybody's you-know-what stinks. So I don't know why, you know, but something's wrong here, Bridget.
He agreed to meet with us June 28th, Carol, and we intend to give him everything we know up to now. But God bless that attorney we hired. If he hadn't asked the right question,
mm-hmm.
we wouldn't even know about the game changer
right.
that they filed with the department.
That's correct. Well, let's take a break, and we'll be back shortly. This is the Carol Cox Show. My guest is Bridget Hammerquist from Friends of Maha Ulepu, and that is Mahaulepu, friendsofmahalapu.org. All righty, we'll be back, and thanks for listening.
The second half of the Carol Cox Show, right after the news on KWAI Honolulu.
Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do da 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 da. Had a ball of dynamite right from the first day. Tell me that you'll call me just as soon as you get home to pacify my heart while I'm alone. Thank you, alone. The things we did this time of love we've never done before. Made some changes in my head. I won't feel the same.
It's time for the Carol Cox Show right here at K108. If you have questions or comments for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080. And now here's Carol.
Aloha and welcome back to the Carol Cox Show. This beautiful Sunday morning, right here in Honolulu. So, things are looking good out there. Can't wait to get out there and smell that air and feel the rain. Anyway, my guest is Mrs. Bridget Hammerquist, calling from Kauai, and she is the president and member of the Friends of Mahalapu. And that Mahalapu is M-A-H-A-U-L-E-P-U, and some say Malapu or Mahaulepu, depends on if you're from Mississippi or not, like myself. So we're lucky to get started with pronunciation. But there are some serious issues going on, and let me just share with you. There's this a little concern that bothers me. Many of you say, well, you know, this is a rich neighborhood and this is not in my backyard. This is, folks, this is a serious environmental concern. This is something, and the real issues here is that maybe it's the best thing for the economy. Maybe it's the best thing since sliced bread here, folks, this dairy. But it's the way in which we're arriving at having it put in place and cited. We have misinformation, as you've heard. The government is kind of loose. She indicated that, Bridget indicated she talked to the governor. But for me personally, the governor is not moving fast enough, and I speak to that from my own opinion, nothing to do with Friends of Mahalapu, because I could see there could be, we could tolerate some delay and some tardiness in the response on the part of the governor. But this thing is like the snowball rolling down the hill. And I I'd like to be kind and courteous and patient and all of that. The reality is there's a draft environmental impact statement, and the governor hadn't commented, hadn't gotten back. The mayor. They should have concerns with the entire process. And so I believe if you were to see this area, you would understand and appreciate it. And it's not about they don't want it in their backyard. It's presenting possibly some of the worst environmental conditions or threats that there can be possibly made to this area. And we know the depletion of coral colonies and what have you. So lend an open mind and an open pocketbook and whatever, and get involved. I mean, you may want to join the other side, but whatever you do, don't sit back and throw stones and say, this is just some rich folks not wanting in their yard. It has nothing. That is so far from the truth. These are people that are volunteering. And by the way, I mean, I live in an area, we're not rich, but I damn sure would protect my area. I would fight for it, and I hope that I wouldn't be portrayed as being a NIMBY, not in my backyard. So we have a right to stand up for what we believe to be right and know to be difficult. Good morning, Bridget, again, and thank you for joining me.
Good morning, Carol. Thanks for having us.
All righty. Well, go back and let's go back and talk about this Friends of Mahalapu efforts to educate the public and if to deal with this dairy that is proposed.
On that note, Carol, can I share with your listeners, in addition to friendsofmahalapu.org, a website that one of our members voluntarily set up for us. She's a great webmaster. She's in the mainland, and she has volunteered hundreds of hours to keep our website for us, and it has not cost us. And we've really done what we've done, but on the power and strength of volunteers. The concern you mentioned about environmental concern is really our focus, and I'll tell you why. There's an 800-pound elephant sitting in the middle of the room. The main stream, which receives its water from this dairy site, the Waiopili, was clean when the state tested it in 08, no bacteria. 2010, no bacteria. 2011, creeped up, it had 254 E. coli. By 2014, when it was tested, it was found to have Enterococcus in the thousands, over 8,000, over 10,000, over 12,000, over 14,000. The head of Surfrider on this island and myself and several other members of Friends of Mahalapu flew down to the Department of Health and said, here's the numbers. What's happening in that stream? We knew the dairy didn't have cows yet there, but we knew they were moving a lot of earth. They were opening up their ditches. So what's going on? It came out only after 8 months of probing that the State Department of Health had issued permits to a biosolids dump operation that Grove Farm leased land to a company called Aqua Engineers, and they had been dumping the human biosolids from wastewater treatment plants from all over the island, from as far away as Princeville, all the way down to Poipu. They were trucking this stuff in, treated human biosolids, and they were dumping it on a 54-acre area of Grove Farm. It's an area that's not close to the proposed dairy site. It's another area of acreage in Mahalapu Valley. But that had been going on, and none of the public knew about it. I talked to people in the county. They didn't know about it because it was a permit from the state and a lease between Aqua Engineers and Grove Farm. And so they'd been happily having this little dumping party for 11 years that the public didn't even know was going on.
So the concern, hearing this, would suggest to me that if the state allowed and permitted that practice, then I believe they won't be reluctant to approve the dairy. Maybe.
Well, we're afraid of that because the Waiopili has never, the last test run, Carol, the first part of June, the bacteria count was 8,000 and some. And that was like 200 times any other stream on the island. Our website, the Surfrider website, posts the monthly numbers. Anybody has a question, they can write to friendsofmahalapu@hawaiiantel.net. That's our email address, friendsofmahalapu, and it's M-A-H-A-U-L-E-P-U. You're right. The correct pronunciation is friendsofmahalapu. They can write to that at hawaiiantel.net, and we'll be happy to answer anybody, give them whatever they'd like in the way of materials. We need help. We need help because we've got a stream that's already severely impaired. The state came out. They tested the water. They confirmed it. They found it so bad, they actually instituted a sanitary survey. They've only finished part one of the sanitary survey, and part one concluded it's sick. We don't know why it's sick. Maybe it's the cesspools over in Kaloa Town that are somehow coming through the karst lava tubes that are affecting the stream. Whatever is impacting that body of water that goes across the beach that kids sit in, swim in, it ponds on the beach, you know, it makes a nice little warm pool and eddy. People play in it. It's commonly, nobody knows it's polluted. We can't get the state to post a warning sign.
Right, that was going to be my
point.
But
they agree it's polluted. They file their sanitary survey. It's on their website. People could see it. And they say it's there, it's sick, and we don't know where it's coming from.
And
our point is, how can you contemplate adding animal waste upstream from that when you know the drainage goes right to that same polluted body? How can you even, as a State Department of Health, how can you not be telling these people, hold off, wait a minute, the public is right to be concerned about this location. Mr. Omidyar, you're a billionaire. Please help us. Look for another spot on the island which is not right on top of a beach and on top of a sick stream.
Yeah, we got
and next to the people's drinking water.
Right. So hold that thought, and we got a caller here.
Go ahead.
And for those that have called in, we missed about 12 calls, so...
I'm sorry.
No. They have to be patient. We got a story to tell, right? So, caller... Well, he disappeared. Anyway, one of the things I want to emphasize is that the state refused to post, as you just mentioned, and then you folks felt that it was important enough to inform the public, and you post signs up, and the state had the signs removed. And I know that firsthand, that the state was responsible for pulling them down.
Yeah, we didn't know that, Carol.
Yeah, so... this is just wrong, and also...
Well, you know, the state told the newspaper, though, Keith Kawaoka told the newspaper, that they didn't know the signs were up and they didn't have anything to do with taking them down. You got information to the contrary, and we wouldn't have known what you know if you hadn't been told that by a Department of Health.
You know, this is and I have to be careful, and that's a difficult sometimes about having guests, because I like to speak the truth, and the truth sometimes look as though we're trying to speak rude or ill of someone. But, you know, I know you folks have your approach. The governor, you're waiting for his response. The governor appointed Keith Kawaoka. He was involved in the selection process. Keith Kawaoka just simply told a bald-faced lie. He did know that, and in fact, he was contacted by the newspaper person on Kauai, the Garden Island, to inquire, and was also Janice Okubo, I think, is the public relations person, was contacted by the news person at Garden Island, and she in turn asked these questions about these signs that you folks had posted up, and they immediately contacted their people, and then they proceeded to take them down. That was a bald-faced lie, and if Kawaoka, and I've had nothing but the most respect for Kawaoka, but it speaks to this nice, smiling face of the governor who presents, and we all want to stand back and give him the respect that one is due, but the behavior is not consistent. We shouldn't reward him any further with this, because it is he and Pressler who's stalling. He knows that there's no harm in posting signs saying that it's contaminated. There's no harm in educating the public. We have a right to know. But anyway, these are the concerns that we have. But this waste management plan, you want to go and chat with that a bit about...
Sure, So I went through the older lies, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now there's a whole new bunch of lies. First, we couldn't find a New Zealand model that matched their whole 119 network of little small parcels fenced off. Now it turns out that they filed their draft EIS, still talking about the fact that they were following a New Zealand model, but buried in an appendix in Volume 2 is a reference to a change in the amount of poop their cows are going to make per day. Their plan that's on file with the state, page 42, says that each cow poops 143 pounds of liquid manure a day. The new draft EIS filed June 8th reports that same cow, the same weight, 1,200-pound cow, now poops 90 pounds a day. It lost 53 pounds of poop per day, and there's no real explanation except they cite a Cornell model. Those of us reading it thought, what are they talking about, a Cornell model? And then, in deposition of Jim Garmitz, it comes out that there's not just a draft EIS on file with the Department of Health that came in June 8th, but they snuck in a changer, a game changer, 14 mm-hmm. pages of documents, and a lot of stuff packed in those 14 pages, because they were set out on three of the pages are chart form with 27 changes, major changes, to their mm-hmm. waste management plan that's on file, and they say to the director of wastewater, here you go, this is really our plan. So I guess they're asking her to go through the existing plan, and where she finds something inconsistent in what they just filed June 1st, she's supposed to know that the June 1st facts are supposed to supplant what's in the waste plan. I think they need to file a whole new waste management plan. I don't know how your people feel about it, but we've got so many documents out there now. We've got a draft EIS on file with the environmental quality people that states facts that are inconsistent even with what they slipped to the wastewater branch chief 7 days earlier.
I would suggest that people writing in ask to have the DEIS withdrawn. And because of the facts and because of this recent discovery that here is a document of substantial modifications, and the public has not been informed. Imagine, they wrote this on May 25th, they being Ulupono or Hawaii Dairy Farms, and the state didn't receive it until June 1, 2016. Meantime, the draft environmental impact statement was being posted or had been posted or being
It was delivered June 8th, seven days later, was put up on the website. Yes.
And not a mention by the state health department or anybody, OEQC, that this document existed and that there was a modification
No, in fact, if it hadn't come out in deposition
mm-hmm.
of the proposed farm manager over here, the local manager, on-site manager, he just happened to be asked a question by our lawyer mm-hmm. about the existing plan, and the fellow looks up and says, "Oh no, that's not the plan anymore."
Yeah, we put in a new one.
He said, "No, there's a new plan," and yeah. Our lawyer Charlie Tebbett said, "What do you mean a new plan?
Mm-hmm.
Where's the new plan?" Because
mm-hmm.
it wasn't in the draft EIS. We'd all seen it by then, because that came out on 8th of June, and we're deposing him on the 14th of June.
And I believe that the governor, in receipt of this information, should immediately order a stand down.
I think they should be given back all their documents. The state should tell them, take your draft EIS, take your initial waste management plan, and take this game changer that you just launched in here and filed without telling the public. Take all these documents, give us back whatever you want to give us back, but make sure that it's consistent and it doesn't bear any more falsehoods. And I want to get into that. That was
right.
The other thing that came out in the deposition that the department's going to hear about from our lawyer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Their proposed farm manager admitted under oath that he had submitted false information in the application that went before the state for a stormwater construction permit. Now, there is a paragraph in a stormwater permit application that says you can be criminally and civilly punished if you falsify that document. If you put in facts which are supposedly under penalty of perjury and you misstate facts, and Charlie Tebbett went through their application and he said, "Mr. Garments, you are asking the state for permission to do this because you know it's going to cause discharge and runoff to the waters of the U.S. And you're asking for permission to do this for the same reason. That's why it's part of the stormwater permit application process, because you know you're going to have discharge, so you're asking for a permit to go forward and create that discharge, correct?" And he says, "Correct." And he said, "But Mr. Garments, your application isn't true, is it?" And the guy looks at him for a minute and goes, "Well, not exactly, no. Because those things, you already did them.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't wait for the permit. You did it already."
Mm-hmm.
"And now you're going to the state telling them it's yet to be done." And he came right out and said to Mr. Garments, "Isn't that a lie?"
Right.
Of course, the lawyer for the dairy farm is objecting all over the place, but the facts are there.
Mm-hmm.
And Garments admits the most he would say is, "Well, it wasn't accurate. It wasn't
mm-hmm.
correct."
Mm-hmm.
It's a lie. It's a lie under oath, Carol, and there's
right.
no other way to read it.
Well, we have a call here.
The thing I'd like to share with your listeners.
Go ahead.
And it's a lot to digest, is in the current draft EIS, if they can get this down, there in their body, the first 299 pages, nowhere do you read anything about a Cornell model, okay? They tout this whole plan and why it's safe. They're still referring to their New Zealand model on page 48. They're still
mm-hmm.
talking about their New Zealand model. And they don't give the public a clue about what they just filed with
no
the wastewater branch
Cornell.
Chief 7 days earlier,
right.
which totally tells the wastewater branch chief, "We're abandoning our New Zealand model."
Right.
They actually tell the wastewater branch chief, "We're no longer using the New Zealand model."
Mm-hmm.
Well, if the New Zealand model was so safe, why was it abandoned? Why is there a Cornell model? And what is the Cornell model? You go on the internet and try and find it, you're not going to find anything with 119 small little parceled areas where they're going to keep mobs of 115 cows on a little 3-acre parcel for 24 hours and then move them to another little 3-acre parcel for 24 hours. You're not going to find that in a Cornell model either. This is the design that's come up with by Hawaii Dairy Farms using Group 70 International and any other consultant they've consulted with
right.
to develop this thing in print, and it's some pencil pusher
yeah.
that's put this together. And that 119 parcels, I have to tell you, Carol, there's at least a dozen of them that are smaller than an acre.
Mm-hmm. Hold
you can't put 115 cows on a half acre.
Hold that thought right there.
Okay.
Caller, go ahead with your comment. Yeah, callers, if you call in, be patient. We're not trying to run a race here. We're just having a conversation. So if you do want to participate, hold on. But when we see red, I don't want to really see red. And we lost Bridget in that process. So, Bridget, you can call back and call. But I have
no.
Your things are so hot here that people can't hold on, Bridget. Like hot
I'm sorry. When you went to take the call, I heard a dial tone.
Yeah, no problem. But let's see if I can, for a simple person like me, here we have the New Zealand model that was referenced and relied upon as a template for this dairy. Then that went on for a couple of years that they were proposing it, and then they presented these documents in the draft environmental impact based on a rescinded model or a rejected model or a flawed model. And then in turn, they advancing this document, the draft environmental impact statement, and then they said, oh, but we have a new model that we're going to use. But that new model was only introduced in June 1, so that should be grounds to dismiss the entire draft environmental impact statement process because it's relying on a faulty New Zealand model, or the public is commenting on that, which is no longer existing. So it leaves the public in mid-air trying to ask and answer questions that really aren't relevant.
They should have to give the public notice of their new plan
mm-hmm.
if they think the public is... If they're saying this is our draft EIS
mm-hmm.
and they're taking public response to the draft, we have 45 days, Carol, from
right.
June 8th. People have to have their responses in by July 23rd to the draft EIS.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when exactly are they going to tell the public that the draft EIS isn't exactly right? There's changes in what they gave the director of the wastewater branch chief.
Major, major revisions.
Not yeah, major.
28 of them. Hold on here. Let's do this. Caller, thank you for calling. Go ahead with your comment or question.
Good morning.
Yes.
To the lead that's talking, how that you have all this information that you cannot stop this project, that everything that they're doing seems like it's illegal, and where are the authorities to say, this is wrong, cease and desist, let's go get back to point A again. How come that doesn't happen?
Well, I may have an elementary answer. We're in Hawaii. But anyway, Bridget, go ahead with the more intelligent
response. Well, we've been trying, sir. We really have. I mean, we pointed out their lies to the department. You know, we said they can't possibly be zero discharge. It's not possible to put that much waste. Then they were at 517 grazing acres. They've reduced that now by 50 acres. They're now down to 469 acres to put all these animals on, 1,200-pound animals. Okay. He said they cannot be zero discharge. Finally, in the draft EIS, it comes out very quietly, they're no longer zero discharge. They know they're gonna spill nitrate and phosphorus into the environment. And that's the most they'd say. Now, caller, if you think about it for a minute, how are they going to spill that nitrate and phosphorus into the environment? Well, those are the ingredients that come with manure and urine. So what they're really saying is the pee and poo is going to get into the water that's going to go down the stream, that's going to go past your wells, and it's going to go out to sea. We complained about our drinking water wells, and they told the public we were fear-mongering. The place is safe. We're going to prove it. We're going to do an EIS. Well, turns out when you read the EIS, some of the things in there, actually acknowledge. They said they're moving their pastors back 1,000 feet from the well, one well. The other well, they're not moving back from. And what about spraying the effluent on the pastures? They're going to spray the effluent from the effluent pond with the manure and urine. They're going to spray. They're going to put everything stays on the farm. 100% of the waste is supposed to stay there. They're not taking it off. It's not going to a methane digester. It's not getting sold. They claim the grass is going to need all that manure. They don't tell the Department of Health what's known to them and should be known to them, is that manure is a very inefficient form of fertilizer. So they're even going to put more fertilizer on these pastures to try to keep this grass growing. Now, they've had 2 years just to try to get the grass growing. And of their 469 grazing acres, they have 78 acres cultivated right now with grass on it. They have 400 more acres that aren't even planted yet. But they're saying they're ready to have the cows.
Mm-hmm.
What are they going to eat? Well, they are planning to give them grain. They used to say they were grass-fed. That was another lie we had to debunk. Now they're calling it pasture-based, but they're admitting they're not. They don't have enough grass to be grass-fed. In fact, they're going to be bringing in grain. They're importing grain from the mainland, and at least 30%, if not more, of the feed the cows get every day is going to be grain.
But we also found documents from the Department of Ag recent as May of this year,
right,
where they're inquiring about the importation of cassava from Thailand. So this entire process is, there's misrepresentations or oversights that seem to be cause for, conclude that there's inconsistencies here, and we can't rely on them. But one of the things is that strikes me is quite interesting is that Governor Igay boastfully talks about transparency. How on earth can a document be submitted of this nature, of this value, of importance, be submitted to his agency by the Hawaii Dairy Farms, knowing it's relevant to the draft environmental impact statement that the public will be commenting on or participating in, and not have this information, which is critical, a major change, and the public is not informed? It has to be inadvertently discovered by a lawyer in a deposition.
Can I break in here a minute?
Yeah.
In other words, the governor is defunct in his job because he's not upholding the laws of the state of Hawaii. Would you say that?
Well, he's
a lawyer, isn't he?
They, if they have a provision that people have to file an application under oath, and they know that the dairy has falsified information to them in the past. They know that. We've uncovered their lies. We've exposed them. And
cease and desist. If you have this information, they've lied on their application.
Yeah. But, yeah, they lied on their application.
But understand,
our lawyer is asking them that.
But understand
this
recently.
They're getting a strong letter.
But Bridget, make it clear that you don't have this information at hand always. These are things it's trickling out as you go through this process. Let that be known clearly, because it don't want to give the impression that we have this information or you have this information in your hands at all times.
Well, wait a minute, Carol. They said they had a permit that didn't exist. They
right.
put down they had an NRCS permit.
But I understand, but how are you obtaining it through your fight, through your research?
They're not making it available.
I want to make sure that's clear so people don't go away thinking, well, gee, you got all this at your disposal.
No. We put their major misrepresentations before the governor when we met with him
mm-hmm.
in September of last year.
And these ones we're talking now are recent, very
these
recent.
These are brand new.
Right.
These are frickin' 1 week old.
I like that term. Well,
yeah.
Go ahead, caller. You have any other comment?
Well, I would say this is the biggest treatment that the people of Hawaii are getting. I'll tell you that. Because if you had facts and figures that this thing is going to pollute the stream, and you were saying 20,000, whatever, it went up, from...
Yeah, it went up to 20. Honolulu Lab told Department of Health there was 28,000 bacteria colonies in just a little over 3 ounces of water. That is a cesspool.
Like that, I know that is something radically wrong. You know what I mean? To put that kind of effluent into a stream, and then, and like you said, that goes down to where people swim and children are at?
And yes. Into the yes. ocean. Yeah. Okay, well, caller, thank you for calling.
Well, I just hope something happens that's positive on this, because I'm tired of having the state screw the public.
Well,
help us out. Help us out. We've got a contact sheet. We've got addresses. Go to friendsofmahalapu.org. Write me at friendsofmahalapu@hawaiiantel.net. I'll send you the contact information. Help us with letters. Help us with donations.
I say we got to picket the Capitol. They had the big sign, you're killing the land, and you could possibly kill people.
Oh, and we still have a lot of our local people use and rely on that beach for sustainable fishing.
That's what I mean.
They eat there. That's their dinner. That's where they fish. That's where they net. That's where they gather limu. There's lots of limu beds in there. And, you know, it's not right. They don't even have a warning that stream is so sick.
Yeah, that's the fun. When you said that about a half an hour ago, they don't put up no boating with the 20,000, you know, E. coli, whatever, in the water. There's somebody got to catch up and get their butt, you know what, burned as far as
yeah. Concerned. You know what Watson Okubo said? Their clean water branch person?
He told me
first they weren't going to put up signs because they didn't have any right now. And I said, well, we'll pay for them. And we made them look exactly like the signs they have posted in the Hanalei River with the same kind of warning.
If I was you, I'd just make up some nice signs and put them up myself. What the hell with that?
Well, they took them down. And then when we said, okay, we'll make them, his next response, which is in the paper, this is in the newspaper, he's put in that they didn't want to seem like they were helping the Hyatt with their fight against the dairy. So they weren't going to put up warning signs. It has nothing to do with the Hyatt's fight against the dairy. It has to do with the health of our babies who go in that water on the beach.
Just the health of the environment, then.
And we took pictures. We gave the department video footage of kids playing in that water. We gave them still footage of pictures of people in that water. There's no doubt that the Department of Health has like 40-some pictures. We filed a formal petition to post the stream, and we attached pictures as an exhibit to show them why they need to post the stream, that there's local people use that beach. They camp there. They fish. They can stay overnight if they're fishing. They live there on weekends with their kids. And we sent pictures to the Department of Health, and you know what the department said in their sanitary survey? They said, we find no evidence of recreational use of this polluted water.
Oh, man. There's something so wrong here, it's sickening. You know what I mean? Because the laws are not being applied to the right people that are breaking the law.
Yeah.
You know, what is it? Are we helplessly hopeless to do anything?
All I can say is, you know, pick up the phone, call the governor.
Yeah.
Talk to his secretary, Joyce Cammie. Get involved. Help us any way you can, because...
I'm involved, man, but it seems like all the stuff that I have ever done is a knock, because this state is so corrupt, it's a joke.
Yeah. Well, thank you, caller.
All right.
Aloha. Thank you. Mahalo.
Thank you.
All right.
Putting the signs up, that's all I can say. You know, you be persistent. If you ain't going to beat me down... Thank you.
All right, thank you. Yeah, Bridget, one other point I wanted to touch on. For example, there's this idea or claim that this draft environmental impact statement is voluntary.
Oh.
Now, here's this. In this new document we recovered that's dated May 25th in the waste management plan that was submitted to the state that the public didn't know about. So the last paragraph on the first page, in the course of this effort, opponents to the dairy filed a lawsuit against HDF, claiming that an environmental impact statement was required prior to use of the agricultural lands that HDF is situated on. While HDF strongly disagrees with that requirement, HDF has voluntarily agreed to prepare and submit an EIS. Now, if they agree with the requirement, then does that mean they agree that there is a requirement and a draft environmental impact statement is a requirement, and why are they claiming that they're volunteering instead?
Well, they cite themselves. Hawaii Revised Statute. See that on the top of page 2, Carol? Hawaii Revised Statute, section chapter 343.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, that does require a wastewater operation
mm-hmm.
to do an environmental assessment. Now,
yeah.
an environmental assessment is a little different than an EIS, but they're the same family. And the lawsuit was filed by the Hyatt saying they had to do an environmental assessment because the Hyatt knows of the environmental risks that we're also fighting about.
Right. Well, maybe just a sentence
yeah.
structure.
So they're right. They might disagree with the requirement. Any citizen might disagree with the requirement, just like some people don't like to hook up to the sewer when they're told they have to hook up to the sewer. But that doesn't change the law.
Right.
And so that voluntary EIS was never really a voluntary EIS. They had to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But they came in like knights on their white horse saying, we're going to voluntarily do an EIS. Did they tell the public they were about to unload another big fat lie?
But I wanted to make sure
that... And put a 2,700-page document in? Nowhere in the 2,700 pages they could fit notice of the fact, oh, by the way, we filed an extensive revision to the waste management plan.
Mm-hmm.
It's got 4 pages of graphs to set out all the changes, and we already delivered that to the wastewater branch chief,
mm-hmm.
so you might want to consider that when you're responding.
And we agree
they
also...
don't tell us that.
And we also agree that it is a requirement in our letter, but we didn't tell you that, you know, so hold on.
Right.
Caller, thank you for calling. You have a comment, a question?
Thank you. Very quickly, I'm not sure if this is applicable, but I have in front of me ethics in federally funded blank obligations for recipients, contractors, employees. Do not know if your project involves the federal government at all, or if it's applicable for you to go to an agency at the federal government level. And I'll listen for your response. Thank you. I'm all for what you're doing. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Go ahead, Bridget.
We raised that. They did avail themselves of consultation with the NRCS, which is a federal office under the U.S. Department of Agriculture. But they didn't take any money. They didn't take any farm loan. They didn't actually take funding. So their position is they don't have to come under the requirements of the federal government. And we don't really need them to. Our lawyer intends to take them to task. It's just a shame that our Department of Health isn't taking them to task. And it's really a shame that the wastewater branch chief didn't contact Keith Kawaoka and say, did they include this 14 pages of changes to their waste management plan in that draft EIS? Because if the public is commenting, shouldn't they really get this so they can comment on this as well? What's the purpose of commenting on a draft EIS if it doesn't really contain all that they intend to do out there?
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, that's the thing we're upset about. But we are going to the EPA. We can work with the federal government on the Beach Act and on the stream standards, the standards of the amount of bacteria that's acceptable. This stream is so polluted without the dairy cow one being here. This stream right now is over 200 times any safe limit set by the state or the federal government. And that's where we're working right now because nobody knows. They say they don't know where it's coming from. We think it could be the biosolids that they were dumping there for 11 years. We don't know. But the public's getting it. They don't know they're getting it. But, you know, there are people that have gone in that stream and come away. In fact, one of the surf riders who was testing the stream, before he knew about the biosolid operation, he got a nasty, nasty staph infection. He had to go to the ER to get it treated. It was a horrible infection. Mm-hmm. It left a scar in his leg. I had a woman tell me that she had a horse that drank from the stream and water splashed in his eye, and they got such a bad infection they had to cut the eye out of the horse. I mean, there's a guy I know who spears and throws net there. He's a Hawaiian man. He got a really bad ear infection in the water right off where the stream enters, and it took 3 courses of antibiotics to get rid of that ear infection. So it is not safe, and they will not post it.
So
not to post it under EPA standards with that level of enterococci. They are supposed to warn the public if there's recreational use, and the standard, even in the Hawaii administrative rules, it says if people wade, bathe, or walk through the water
mm-hmm.
or swim. They're supposed to be warned if the enterococci is consistently over the state safe limit.
Right. We have another caller, but one thing I want to make sure we speak clearly, and that is some the types of listeners, which is variety and varied, and that is, well, if it's already polluted, what's the big deal? Well, the big deal is the state should be looking to clean it up, not to further exacerbate it or
right.
create a problem and have been irresponsible. So the real concern is what's telling and what's of great concern for me for, as an observer, and that is if they are reluctant to address the conditions now and the contaminants now, we're going to catch hell or pay hell if the dairy is put in there, because we won't have the monitoring, the oversight. They won't post. They won't tell the public anything. So that brings a great concern. Here, let's get this call. And caller, thank you for calling. You have a comment or question.
Good morning, Mr. Cox. Happy Father's Day.
A happy Father's Day to you, my friend.
Thank you. Balthazar Gracian has a quote that says, intellect with an evil will produce an unnatural monster. And listening to the conversation with you and that lady, this idea of that intellect would be probably the business plan that the guy's preparing for the dairy. The evil will is not goodwill, but the evident demonstration of the consequences of what has been happening to the environment on Kauai, and that is the unnatural monster, the consequences to the environment.
Mm-hmm.
You have a good day.
Thank you.
My name is Glenn from Kaka'ako. Bye.
All right, aloha. Thank you, mahalo. Bridget, go ahead.
I think that the thing that's so hard about this, Carol, is that there are a lot of documents floating around, and they don't match each other. In other words, this new thing tells the wastewater branch chief, we're abandoning the New Zealand model, and we're now following a Cornell model. Now, they don't give her a copy of the Cornell model. They don't tell her how or what they're relying on. They just ask her to accept it in faith.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, they asked her to accept in faith that the New Zealand model was best. They said it was best for our tropical environment. Now that best model that was good for our tropical environment, once we put enough information out there about how harmful the New Zealand model is, now all of a sudden the New Zealand model is not what they will follow, not that they've told the people getting the draft EIS about it, but they told the director about it. And my question is, what is the Cornell model? And does it have all these little pasture parcels? Does it contemplate putting 2.5 million pounds on the ground every month of liquid manure
mm-hmm.
and expecting it to stay there? I don't think so.
Yeah. Let's look at some of the real elements in this revision real quick. Like
okay.
Item one, if you got it in front of let's just blow through this.
All right. Item I've got one. It in front of me.
Initially, the current WMP, the original WMP, waste management plant, 174 calves on the site. Proposed change, 150 calves on site. Then the justification, no more than 150 calves will be kept on the site at any time based on size and age.
Okay. All right. Are you ready for this?
Mm-hmm.
If you go to Volume 1, 1-7 of their DEIS, the Draft Environmental Impact Study, absolutely contradicts this and says calves will be kept on site for 90 days.
Mm-hmm.
And how many calves? They've said they're bringing in 699 pregnant cows. They have to be pregnant in order to milk.
Right.
We asked the farm manager in deposition last Tuesday, how long will it be before they deliver their babies? When they come pregnant, because you want to be able to milk them and you want their milk producing, how long before the babies are born? He said 15 days. So that's 699 pregnant cows coming in 15 days, and he said they'll have at least 600 heifers
mm-hmm,
born,
mm-hmm.
allowing for deaths or whatever, right?
Right.
And he said we're keeping them on site, and the DEIS says it, they'll be kept on site for 90 days, and yet they told the director there'll be no more than 150 at any one time.
Right. So,
so it's up to us to go tell the director, look at page 1-7 of volume 1.
Okay, so here's number 2. Nutrient, the current WMP is nutrient mass balance table is populated by the Dairy New Zealand model. Then proposed change, nutrient mass balance table is updated with the Cornell method model. Then the justification, the Cornell net carbohydrate protein system model is a United States industry recognized nutrient and milk production model. While HDF recognizes the success of the Dairy New Zealand model for evaluation of nutrients, HDF ultimately believes that the United States standard is best suited for the operations on Kauai. Now, you go, you have at it.
Well, when did they decide that? Because for 2 years, they've been saying the New Zealand model was best suited.
For our tropical environment.
And if you go to volume 1, page 48 of the draft EIS, look at page 48 of the draft EIS. They're still touting the virtues of the New Zealand model. They're not telling the public about this switch. They're not telling the public about this switch to the Cornell model.
Yeah. So
and they don't offer the Department of Health, to my knowledge, a copy of it.
Right. So 3, project boundary. That was the original. Reduced project boundary. That was what is proposed. Then the boundary has slightly adjusted along the perimeter of the farm. How does that impact or change?
It means there's less room for the number of animals they're taking.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't exactly tell the wastewater branch chief that they are instituting, we learned this in deposition, they're instituting a practice of keeping their cows 35 feet back from the streams.
Mm-hmm.
And they've dropped pastures back 1,000 feet from one well, but not the others, okay? And it doesn't really come out here. This is just how they work. It's just real abbreviated.
Mm-hmm.
And when you actually go to the NRCS standards, the Natural Resource Conservation Standards for the Pacific Island region, and you go to page 1, right on page 1, it says that an animal feed operation, any wastewater operation has to be 50 feet back
mm-hmm.
from open waterways and 1,000 feet back from any wells.
Mm-hmm.
So the 35 feet isn't even meeting.
Right.
So, you know, and you just are all the time turning around and going, wait, over here you said this, and over
mm-hmm.
here you're saying this. And which is it?
So here's item 16, a revision. Wastewater treatment, that was in the original wastewater treatment section. Wastewater
right.
management plan was what they're offering. Then the public comments on the original WMP correctly indicated that the ponds are not treatment systems, as the original WMP did not indicate any wastewater treatment systems for the effluent. Wastewater is stored and not treated in the effluent ponds. Now, if the public was commenting on that waste management plan back then, why is not the public commenting or giving the opportunity or disclosure that this revision, major substantial revision to the West, and also a change? Why isn't the public not allowed to comment on this waste management plan, the Cornell one? Or were they?
No, I can't answer that, Carol. I can't say why they do what they do. I can only tell you that that's one, number 4 is inconsistent with what they gave the public in the draft EIS. They didn't share that information.
It's like following shooting at a moving target, huh?
Yeah.
And you don't know, whack-a-mole.
They still talk about stirring the large effluent ponds, but that isn't really a treatment.
Mm-hmm.
And the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service did issue them a letter and made a strong recommendation in their public comment that they filed February 23rd with HDF that the waste ponds be covered to protect all the wildlife in there, all the bird life. There's
mm-hmm.
the Kalua duck, which is endemic. It's
mm-hmm.
it's an endangered animal. It's only in that part. It's only on Kauai.
Mm-hmm.
And it's only on the South Shore of Kauai that you can find the Kalua duck.
Mm-hmm.
And we have the Hawaiian stilt, we have the Hawaiian coot, we have the Hawaiian owl, we have the nene goose in there. And the farm manager says, oh, yeah, there's days I see six, there's days I see 20 Nene geese. And he testified under oath that they killed and grubbed 480 acres of that farm.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you don't think they disturbed some bird habitat and some nests in that process? It's not possible.
Mm-hmm.
And they disturbed it all. They cleared it all. They sprayed it all. They poisoned it. But they've only found the time to develop 70 acres in grass.
And then they give that away. I'll give a portion of that
Well,
away.
They said they're giving it away, yeah.
Yes.
But you know what's really weird, Carol?
And we're coming down a short time, so go ahead.
Has produced, their grass growing trials, they call them, has produced 16 tons per acre per year. Well, they claim to have given away approximately 100 to 150 bales of mowed and baled grass.
Mm-hmm.
Hay, basically, right? Well, where did all the other grass go? I mean, 16 tons per acre is really a lot of grass. I mean, I don't believe they've grown that much, because there's no way they would only have given away 100 and 150.
Right.
They told the federal judge in our Clean Water Act case, Judge Kobayashi, they told Judge Kobayashi that all the activities on the farm are farming activities. But if they're not raising it and selling it, how is it a farming activity?
And how do they get the tax? Well,
I mean,
Well, give you a website plug. We're down at the last minute here, so
say that again. I'm sorry.
Give you your contact information again. And
contact information. Okay. Friends of, all one word, Friends of Mahaulepu, M-A-H-A-U-L-E-P-U, friendsofmahaulepu.org, or they can email us at friendsofmahaulepu@hawaiiantel.net. And this is the whole South Shore of Kauai. This is our Sentinel Beach that starts the whole South Shore coastline on Kauai.
Okay. And is there a phone number that one can call you or email real quick?
Sure. They can call me at my home in Kaloa. I don't live that close to this place. Some people think I'm right on top of it. That's why I'm part of this, but I'm not. It's 808-742-1037.
All righty.
But with my medical background, I do really care about the bacteria load that they're threatening to unleash on our environment.
Okay, well, thank you. We're down and out of here, so I'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, Carol.
Right. Aloha, and thank you. Keep up the good fight.
Thank you very much.
Aloha.
Mahalo.
Guys, thank you for listening, and we'll see you next week. We'll take up that topic about the Nimitz Highway, and be assured that they never would have. Can you imagine it would impact our economy big time statewide if they were to put that rail along the Nimitz, or the disturbance of that, or the flow? It would just be hell. So we'll talk to you next week, and again, thank you for joining in and listening. We'll see you next week. Aloha.
Show on 1080 AM KWAI Honolulu.